will rejoice and be glad in it. Any day, and I'm sorry, God, I'm going to swear in front of all of these people, but any day there is not snow on the ground is a good day. Just said the S word. We can turn in our Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings upon our lives, for your hand upon us, O God, for your leading and your guiding every day, O Lord Jesus. God, anoint our minds today, O Lord, as we come into this place, as we desire to give our lives to you, to hear your word, O Lord. Show us your way, God. Let your hand be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Have you ever driven down the road? Maybe you're on a trip, on your way to Vancouver, on your way on just going somewhere, and you're driving for an extended period of time, and as you begin to drive along and you find yourself suddenly come to the realization that you don't know how you got to where you are. You suddenly realize that there's landmarks that you've passed that you don't remember. Curves in the road, bends, traffic that you have been whizzing past, and you can't remember a lick of it. It happens to me actually more often than I would like to admit. Things that are going on in your life, you're consumed with, you're thinking about, you're driving along, and those thoughts consume your mind, and all of a sudden you realize, I've had it happen to me many times on the way to work, and suddenly I realize I'm almost in McLeese Lake, and I don't know how I got there. I can't remember the road that I went by. I don't remember vehicles going past because I'm so consumed with what's going on in my mind, or maybe having a conversation with somebody beside you, that you're really not paying attention to what you're doing. You're just kind of on autopilot, driving down the road. I've had times even when I'm having a conversation with someone. In the middle of that conversation, they ask you a question, and you suddenly realize that I don't know what you were talking about. Because I wasn't really listening. I was distracted by something. I was concentrating on the people walking by or the events happening around me, and I wasn't really listening to what was being said. Distracted. Things going on around us. I've had that time in the times driving down the road. As I say, it's happened more times than I would like to admit, and I try my best when I drive to work. I spend an hour each way going to work, almost an hour each way, every day driving. It's a lot of time spent on the road. We wonder, we see all the scenarios that we see on the highways these days with all the accidents going on and everything around. And it makes you wonder sometimes just how distracted are those drivers that are coming towards you. We all know about distracted driving laws. We all know about the cell phone laws and not supposed to text while you're driving. And you're not supposed to have anything that you need to do to occupy your time that is more than just pressing one button. We know about those laws, but what about the things that distract you just in your mind? In your thoughts, the things that are consuming you, that you're allowing those thoughts to overtake what it is that you're doing in that moment. And I know that I've come to that realization sometimes, and I really try to concentrate as I'm driving to make sure that I know what I'm doing, that I'm paying attention to the cars around me, that I'm paying attention to the road. All those times when I've gone and I've driven that way and I've realized that I don't know what I've just driven the last few kilometers down the road, that what would have happened if a deer would have jumped out in front of me? Would have I had the mental capacity to slow down or try to stop or try to avoid that obstruction? Sometimes I just sit and thank God that his hand was upon me in those times because I wasn't really there. Your thoughts somewhere else, your mind consumed by something. Both of these things, whether it be a conversation, whether it be a task that you're doing when you realize that you weren't really there, you are distracted from your immediate task on hand. According to the data from Transport Canada's National Collision Database, distracted driving contributed to an estimated 21% of fatal collisions and 27% of serious injury collisions in 2016. That just says distracted driving. That doesn't say that people were talking on their cell phones. That doesn't say that people were consumed sending text messages or whatever. It means that just that they were distracted. There's consequences to being distracted. And this morning I would like to speak to you on this topic, when surrounded by distractions, keep your focus. As we consider the events of the past year, COVID-19, our provincial impromptu election that we just had, the scandals surrounding our Prime Minister, and now with the U.S. election, it's easy to be distracted. Distracted from the things that our focus should be on. Everywhere you go in the last few weeks and even the last couple of months, all you really hear is the talk about the U.S. election. Everybody's got an opinion on who they think should have been the one to win the election. Everyone's got an opinion on who was better or who was the worst one or personal opinions on each of the candidates that were running. And if it's not the U.S. election that we hear being talked about, it's COVID-19. And again, everybody's got an opinion on that. I had a conversation with somebody at work on Friday, and I was talking, and I thought we began to talk about the whole virus, and I realized that what I thought his opinion of the virus was a long ways off from what it really was. I thought he was a person that was consumed with fear over it, whereas he's just been doing a very good job of following the guidelines and following what's being told, but his thoughts are not at all what it appeared to be. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got their thoughts on what's going on, their thoughts of this entire past year. There's so many things that have been thrown at us in this last year that it's even hard to keep track of what's really going on, what's really happening in your own life. It's hard to keep things going in a straight line when it seems like every time you turn around, there's another jog in the road. There's another thing being thrown at you. One minute there everything was good, next thing that they were restricting gatherings down to 50 people and then restricting down and there's no big events going on. Now they're saying you can't even have more than 6 people in your home that is not your immediate family. Every time we turn around, there's something different that's happening. Distractions. This last week was our virtual minister's retreat. We should have been in Whistler the week prior for the real thing. We missed out on men's retreat this year. We missed out on ladies' retreat. We missed out on our family camp. Our district conference was put together for a brief few days, and even in that, it was still not the way it usually is. And now, with our virtual ministers' retreat, they were planning on having a worship session before every service. And due to illness, which I believe is due to somebody getting COVID-19, that didn't even get to happen. Plans are made and things change, and things aren't what they once were. Sometimes we rely too heavily on our ministers' retreats and our family camps and our men's retreats and ladies' retreats for that little push to carry on, and that gathering and that fellowship that we gain from those times when we gather together in God. We look forward to that great man of God that's going to come and speak to us and encourage us and lift us up and push us forward for another couple of months until the next event that happens. And this year, none of that happened. So what does that mean, Brother Holland? Well, that means that now there's all these distractions that are trying to detract from where we're going. Now is when we need to keep our focus on God. We don't have that push every couple of months with another event. We don't have that push every couple of months from that great speaker that's going to come and speak to us. Now we need to decide and dig down and say, I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to keep my faith in God. And how do you do that? That's by getting into the Word of God on your own. That's by saying, I'm going to keep my focus. If I can't go to a family camp, I'm going to dig into the Word of God, and I'm going to find something in there. What did the Bible say when David and his army came back into the city, and they found that everything was gone, and they wanted to stone David? And the Bible says that David sought after the Lord, and that David encouraged himself in the Lord. The enemy would come in, and the enemy wanted to destroy what it was that they had. The enemy wanted to take away the things that they trusted in and the things that they loved. And David realized that I've got to encourage myself. There's nothing around me that's going to help me in this time. There's nothing around me that's going to help lift me up and pick me up, because even his own very men wanted to stone him for the situation that they found themselves in. And he realized, I can't carry on the way I was. I need to encourage myself. I'm going to keep my focus on God. I'm going to keep my trust in God. And he sought after God and said, God, do I pursue after these? Do we go after what was taken from us? And God said, pursue. And they went after them, and they pursued, and they got back what it was that was lost. So many things that have gone on in this year. I saw this little clip, and it was just a little parody of 2020, and it shows God there, and he says, oh, hi, angel. Did you get the list of things that I wanted to happen in the 2020s? And the angel says, yeah, I got the list. And he says, well, wait a minute. Did you say 2020s? Plural? He says, yeah, over the next 10 years, here's the list of things that I wanted to throw at the people down there. And he goes, oh, man. He goes, what's wrong? He goes, I heard 2020. Not 2020s. And God says to the angel, he goes, you don't mean that you threw everything at them in 1 year, did you? It's kind of what it feels like this year. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But one thing we need to do is keep our focus on God. We can look at the election, and whatever each person here's personal opinion is on the U.S. election, the man that God wants in that seat is going to be in that seat. There is nothing that's going to happen on this earth that is a surprise to God. Everything that goes on in this world is ordained by God. Everything God sees, everything, knows everything. He's got it all worked out. He's got it all planned out. We can read in our Bibles, and we can look at the things that are going on, and we can say, oh, yeah, I can see how those things line up here. My own personal opinion, I thought Donald Trump was going to win by a landslide. I thought he was going to get in, because I thought that's the man that God is going to want in that seat, because that's the man who's going to stand and protect Israel in the last days. I heard something interesting. I had this thought already, but I was reading the news here. I think it was last night I was sitting there reading the news, and they said, well, because of the fact that Donald Trump is still in power until the 21st of January, they think he's going to start a war. Because if he starts a war, he stays in power. We know that there's going to be a war. Because somebody's going to stand up in the midst of that war and say, peace! Peace! And that man's going to be the Antichrist. We know he's coming. We know what the Bible tells us is going on. So our thoughts, God's ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can try to think we know what's going on. We can think that we can try to predict, oh, this is what God has got planned, and this is what God is going to be doing in the world around us. And we can actually get our mind so far sideways thinking about what God's doing that our focus isn't even on God anymore. We're so worried about what the events that are going on around us, and how are we going to get through what's going on, and what are we going to do if this happens, if this scenario happens, and what am I going to do if this happens in my life? And suddenly I'm not even looking at God anymore, and I'm not trusting in God anymore, and I'm not focused on Him, but it's drawing me away from Him. We get so turned around, and we get so focused on the wrong things, instead of just saying, God, You are in control. God, my trust is in You, that I know that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what is thrown at me, You're in control, God, and I'm going to trust in You, and I'm going to believe in You, and I know that You know what's best for our lives, and I know that You're in control of every event that's happening around me. These distractions that are being thrown at us this year are harmful. Many of these distractions, if we let them, will generate fear and anxiety, wondering what exactly is going to come next, wondering how these events are going to affect my life. Even all the talk of these internment camps and talk of the vaccine, and if we don't take the vaccine, we're a threat to public health, and, well, I don't want to take the vaccine because it might be considered the mark of the beast, and I don't want to do this because it might mean this, and I don't want to do this. No. God, You're going to protect me. God, You're going to take care of me. God, You know what's best for my life. I don't have a death wish. I don't really want to leave this earth yet. I'm kind of excited in a way about the events that are going on around us. I think this is an awesome time in history to be living. But it is a scary time when we don't know what's going to happen. We can preach the soon coming of Christ. We can talk about it all day long, but we don't know what exactly that looks like. I was having a conversation on Friday night with Brother Farmer from Prince George. And we were talking about opinions on whether God is going to call His church home, whether it be pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib. I said, Brother Farmer, I said, you know what? I said, I have not done enough research into that to sit here and tell you this is what I believe. I haven't dug into it enough. I don't have a solid foundation that I can sit here today and say, I know God's coming back post-tribulation, and we're going to have to endure it all. And I don't have enough knowledge to sit here and say, God is going to come back, is going to call His church home before, and we have to go through any of that. I said, Brother Farmer, what I believe is that we need to be ready today. We need to be ready every day. Because then I told him, I think it's actually a very dangerous thing for any preacher to stand behind a pulpit and say, this is what God's going to do. Because we don't know. And if we preach to a congregation and we say, oh, God's going to come back post-tribulation, we're going to have to endure this, we're going to have faith, we're going to have to be able to make it through all of the things that are going to go on around us, you're going to get people in that congregation that are going to go, well, I haven't seen any of these signs happening yet, I've got time. And they can start playing around with their sin, and they can start playing around with the things that they're doing, thinking, oh, I'm going to see the signs of God's coming. I'm going to know the time, and I'm going to get right with God. And if God comes back pre-trib, suddenly you've got people that are left behind going, well, wait a minute, He's telling us that God was not going to come back until after all these different things happen. And if we teach people that God is coming back pre-tribulation, and we teach people that God is going to come back, we're not going to have to endure any of that. Well, guess what? Now you don't have to have a whole lot of faith. You can believe in God. You can trust in God for the little things, everything else. But then when all of a sudden tribulation starts to come in, and when suddenly the church is being persecuted, and suddenly people are seeing people that are losing their lives in the name of Jesus Christ around us, and we're going, oh, I didn't know I was going to have to endure this. Are they going to have the faith to make it till the end? But if we just teach people, you need to be ready, and you need to trust in God, and you need to believe in your God, and you need to give your life to God every day. and keep your focus on him every day, then it doesn't really matter when God comes back, because you're going to be ready for him. And it doesn't matter whether he comes pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whenever it is. You're going to be looking and searching for his return, longing for him. You're going to have that faith that says, I can move mountains with my faith, that I can trust in him and know that he's in control of my life, that he's going to be there every step of the way. And there's people, I think, that even myself, sometimes I even wonder, am I going to have what it takes? But I sometimes think that God doesn't, well, I know that God doesn't give us everything in one shot. Well, I was repented of my sins. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Well, now that's it. I've got the faith to move mountains. I've got the strength to do anything that God's called me to do. Sometimes we think that, well, God, if God calls me to this, or if God asks me to do this, am I going to be able to really do that? When they come into my house and they tell me that I need to deny Christ, or they're going to kill me, am I going to have the faith to endure that? What I do believe is that in that moment, God gives you what you need. I've experienced those times when I haven't known where to turn, and I haven't known what to do, and I've just cried out to God, and in that moment, God has brought peace into my life. And that's what faith does. That's what faith moves in our lives, and faith stirs things inside of us, that we know that in those times that all we have to do is call on him, and he's going to be there with us. And we can think that I don't know what I'm going to have to endure coming down the road. I don't know what's going to be happening to our church down the road. But I can believe in him. And I can keep my focus on him. And I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by fear. And I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by doubt. And I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by the events going on in the world around me. But I'm going to keep my focus on God. I'm going to keep looking to God. And I'm going to keep searching for God. And I'm going to keep desiring to draw close to God. Because if we allow it, the distractions around us are going to bring that fear and that anxiety into our life. And fear and anxiety are not of God. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So we're going to sit back and then be fearful about what's going on around us. We're not really, our focus is no longer on God. Our focus is on, what am I going to have to go through? What am I going to have to endure? Instead of just saying, God, it doesn't matter what I endure. It doesn't matter what I'm going to have to go through, because I know you're going to be in it with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard that story over and over again. When they stood before the king, when they were told that whoever does not bow down and whoever does not worship is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Doesn't matter. My faith tells me that I'm going to bow only to my God. I'm going to worship only my God. You want me to do that? I'm not doing it. King calls to bring them in. You know what, boys? I like you. So guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you another chance. Maybe you just didn't understand what it was that was being asked. Maybe you didn't realize that you're from a different country, a different nation, different people. Maybe you didn't realize what it's meant by when the music plays that you're going to bow down. King, we knew exactly what you meant. We know what music is. We know what you were asking us to do. And we don't need a second chance. Because we're telling you right now, King, we're not bowing to anything but our God. They didn't care. In that moment, it didn't matter to them. In that moment, they told that king, either God is going to deliver us, or he's not. But we're going to serve him. We're giving our lives to him. And it was a witness, and it was a testimony of their faith. Luke 12 and 4 says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Our fear should only be a reverent fear of our God. We were talking about the fact of denial, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the unforgivable, the unpardonable sin. He's the only one we need to fear. No, there's no man on this earth that can cast you into hell. There is no man on this earth that can cause you to do anything. When you put your faith in God, and you put your trust in Him, and you keep your focus on Him, it's not going to matter what happens in the world around us. Brother Wilson shared a little devotion of Brother Ken Gurley. He was the one who preached the ministers, the virtual ministers conference. And he does a little devotion. I don't know if he does it every day or if he does it once a week. I think it was it last week he did this morning devotion. It was a call for the church to be ready, to be focused. Because he said, he talked about the different things that have happened down in the U.S. He talked about, I can't remember what the woman's name was. I'm sure many of you heard on the news here a year or two ago about a woman who worked in was a city clerk. And a couple came in and they wanted a marriage license. And it was a same-sex marriage. And she wouldn't give it to them. And she was charged for that. Brother Gurley said, that is just the beginning of what's going to happen when you have a blue country. Because it was them, it was the Democrats who persecuted that. It's just the beginning. We need to be ready. We need to be aware of what's going to be happening. I firmly believe that when the U.S. starts persecuting the churches, it won't be long before Canada falls right in step. I've seen many on my LinkedIn, I've seen many messages going out from different people congratulating. I saw a thing on there from Doug Ford this morning from Ontario congratulating Biden and his victory. There's a lot of support in Canada for who is now going to be in power in the U.S. Events that could, if we allow it, distract us from our purpose. The very time in which we are living can become a distraction from the things that we should be focused on. We need to be focused on God and Him alone. Focused on what He's called us to do. Focused on sharing His word with those around us. And preparing for that day when He calls us home. That's where our focus should be. Not just preparing our own lives, but preparing as many of those around us as we can. If we can turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel, chapter 11. Distractions can be extremely dangerous in our lives. When we allow our eyes to leave the things of God, when we allow our thoughts to be consumed with things around us and not the things of God, it can be detrimental to our life. Live for God. 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliab, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. What we read in verse number 1 says, And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. David was the king, living in a time when kings went forth to battle. What was David doing in Jerusalem? His army was out in battle. He should have been leading the charge. He should have been out there at the head of that battle. He should have been the one out in the field instead of sitting at home. If he had been doing what it was that he was supposed to be doing at that time, he would not have been home, and he would have not have been out on that rooftop, and he would not have seen Bathsheba washing herself and would not have called her in. But he allowed distraction, allowed flesh to stand in the way. Whatever the reason, the Bible doesn't tell us why he stayed in Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say whether he was sick. The Bible doesn't say whether he was tired. The Bible doesn't say whether he just thought, my army is going to do a good enough job without me out leading the charge. It doesn't say why he was not in battle. The Bible tells us that it was a time when kings were to go out into battle, and David was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. His focus was not on where it should have been on. His focus should have been leading the charge. His focus should have been the one, being the one out at the front of the battle that his army could rally around and protect. He should have been the one out there and giving encouragement and strength to his men, doing what he was supposed to be doing. But he wasn't focused in the right place, which found him left at home and left him maybe having a little bit too much time on his hands, maybe doing things that he shouldn't be doing, and walked out onto that rooftop and spied that woman and allowed his flesh to now control his actions. Says that they already knew that this woman was a married woman, already knew that this woman was not one that he could just bring in and have for his own. And this distraction allowed sin to enter David's life. Distraction for David led him down a pathway away from God and God's will. Caused him to commit adultery, and then caused him to order that woman's husband's death. David, now an adulterer and essentially a murderer. All because his focus wasn't where it should be. His life now taking a drastic turn for the worst. David didn't even realize what his distraction had done until his prophet Nathan, the man of God, confronted him with his sin. Till Nathan came in unto him and told him a little story. Cute little story about a man who had this little ewe lamb. Only had one. It was like part of his family. It came into their house. It lived in with their house with them, and it was like a child to him. But then the rich man came along and wanted to entertain some guests, and instead of killing off one of his own sheep, took that man's one little ewe lamb for his own. Slaughtered it. Even in that story, David didn't realize. So blinded by his distraction, so blinded by where he was at, that he wasn't focused on the things of God anymore. He wasn't focused on being the king that was anointed by God. He wasn't focused on doing what he should be doing, and got irate at that man and said, that man needs to repay what he took from that other man. And it wasn't until Nathan said, that man is you, David. You are that man that committed this sin. Imagine the thoughts now going through David's mind as he realized, as he got down on his knees, as he started to repent of what it is that he had done, and as he started to realize that I should have just kept my eyes on God. I should have just kept my focus where it should have been. How many people have turned and walked away from God and have gone back out and done things that they shouldn't do because they let their focus slip? They let their focus turn to things that they shouldn't be on, distracted away from the things of God. Our world today is full of distractions. Our world today is full of iPads and cell phones and medias and everything else out there that can distract us away from the things that we should be doing. I'm just as guilty as the next one. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, instead of talking to God, I grab my cell phone and I open it up. When the first thing I should be doing when I get up out of bed is talking to God, saying, God, go with me today and protect my mind today and anoint my thoughts today and lead me today and help me to be an example of you today everywhere I go. But instead, I grab my cell phone and I turn my alarm off and I get out of bed and I go out and I start looking at the news or whatever on my phone and as I'm getting myself ready for the day. With a lot of times no thought of really what my focus should be on is God. Asking God to be with me, anoint me, help me to be an example of Him. Distractions abound around us. Distractions that affect our lives, that affect our walk with God. Well, it's not affecting me, you might think. Well, they do affect you. The media affects you. Sister Z, I think it was Sister Z, said something the other night. I don't even remember what it was that she said. Something about that was on Facebook. And I just thought to myself, there's another prime example why I don't want Facebook. So many things that go on Facebook that, yes, it can be a good tool. The internet can be a good tool. I use it all day long at work. Use things for what they're designed for, and things are okay, but you start using things for what it wasn't. Well, I shouldn't say what it wasn't designed for, because I'm sure it was designed for feeding the flesh. It was the purpose, because that's the distraction. Satan, our enemy, he's the master of distraction. If he can get into your life, he will. If you can turn your thoughts away from God, he will. If you can take away your focus, he will. Whatever it takes, he knows what's going to affect your life. He knows what's going to get into your mind. He knows what's going to get into your thoughts, and he's going to use it. Because just like David, we get to that point where we don't even realize where we've gone. Until suddenly we look around. It's like driving down the road and not realizing where you've been. You suddenly come to that realization that, how did I get here? God, I've walked away from you. God, a year ago I was on fire for you. A year ago I was praying every day. A year ago I was doing all these things, God. And well, it's because I didn't have a men's retreat to go to. Oh, it's because I didn't have a family camp to go to. It's because I didn't get energized by those things. No, we did, because we lost our focus. Because we lost the direction that we were going, when it should have been all along. We need to encourage ourselves in God. We need to get into the Word of God ourselves and say, no matter what's going on in the world around me, I'm going to be in this. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to talk to God, because I want to be nearer to Him, and I want to be ready for Him, and I want to be longing for His return. And as the days grow shorter, and as the time draws nearer for His return, now more than ever we need to be looking up, for our redemption draws nigh. Now more than ever we need to keep that focus. And as the distractions start to come, and as things that come around us start to affect our lives, we need to say, no, I'm going to push that aside. I'm not going to allow that into my life, and I'm not going to allow that to draw me away from God. And I need to keep my focus on Him. And as we take a look at the events that have surrounded us in 2020, as we take a long, hard look in the mirror of each of our own lives, what have these distractions done to you? Have these distractions caused you to fear and to doubt God? Have these distractions caused you to move away from God and His will for your life? COVID-19 and the physical distancing rules have caused many not to just physically distance from others, but from the church as well. Physically distancing as well as spiritually distancing. I know that for myself, I love coming to church. I've been on the other end of the Zoom church service. It's not the same. I remember that the one morning we were down at the campground, down there for the weekend, and we were on the Zoom, and we listened to both services, and in both services we could tell that the power of God was moving in the church. You could hear it in the voices. You could hear it in the worship. You could hear it going on. But it wasn't the same sitting and listening to it as being in it. And I'm not saying that the church is the only place that we can get that. We can get that at home. I've sat there and listened to music. I was telling my wife the other morning, I was listening to this song on my way to work, and it just started speaking to me, and it started moving in me, and I was started almost crying on my way to work because the song just started speaking to me. And the power of God was in my vehicle with me, and I could feel it, and I could experience that, but you can feel God at any point. You can feel God if your heart is allowing it. You can feel God no matter where you are. But these church services that we've been having and social distancing and being separated and sitting in at home, it's not the same as being in a house with a group of believers. It's just like I've said to others in talking about men's retreat. I'll never forget my first men's retreat. One, because that's where I got the Holy Ghost, but just the experience, I had never felt anything like it. I had experienced family camp. I experienced good church services where everybody gets together, but as we came together at that men's retreat, hearing only men's voices, and I'm sure the ladies, it's the same thing for them when you go to a ladies' retreat and during the worship time, and it's all you hear is the women's voices binding together. But for me, it was that men's retreat, listening to just men's voices, that atmosphere of their voices joining together. To me, that was something that was so powerful and so moving about it, and the message is geared towards the men and the strengthening for the men, and we need that. And we need that time that it's we can sing a song at home, we can worship at home, but it's not the same as when you're together with a group of believers, all worshiping together, all binding together. But this social distancing and this physical distancing that we've had has been a distraction to the church. There's been churches that have been finding that they're reaching out to people through this. It's opened avenues for them. It's putting the services onto YouTube, putting the services onto Facebook Live, putting the services out there for more people to reach has been a great thing out of this whole thing. I believe in that. I believe that it's working in areas, and I believe that it is reaching souls that maybe we would not have otherwise been able to reach. But I do believe in my heart. This is Brother Holland speaking. There's nothing like being in a church service with a bunch of believers. If there's any place that, if I have an opportunity to listen on a Zoom or see it on a YouTube or whatever else, I would rather be there in person. I would like to be there and experience it, and to sing with the people around me and to worship with the people around me and listen to that preaching live. Even when I was in the world, I went to a couple of different music concerts. I've listened to lots of music over the years on a CD or a cassette tape or streamed on MP3, whatever. There's nothing like hearing live music. A lot of times the music isn't even as good as what it is on the studio that you get on a CD or on an MP3 or whatever type of media that it is, because it's recorded in a studio. The music itself is not as good, but there's something about being there live. And it's even more so when it's the power of God, when it's the Word of God, when it's a worship for God, and you're in amongst a whole bunch of people all worshiping together. It's nothing better than being in that atmosphere. But the things that the Satan has been throwing at us through this COVID-19 and all these it's a distraction. Well, it's okay, I can stay at home, I can listen on Zoom. But are you connected? The Word can still reach your heart. The Word can still tug on your heart. It can still speak to you. But are you, a lot of times, are you really connected? There's times when I've listened to preaching online. And there's times when you sit down and you focus in and you think, I want to get every nugget out of this. And you are connected. And there's times when I've listened to preaching online, and that's been playing in the background because of distractions. They get in the way. Becoming distracted by this U.S. election can also bring anxiety. Wondering what the future will hold. Is World War III just around the corner? Is persecution of the church coming sooner than we thought? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen today, this afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week, next year, next month. I don't know. What I do know is I want to make sure that my focus stays on God. I want to make sure that I'm not succumbing to worry and fear and doubt because the things that I think should be happening aren't happening because God is in control. But I do have a word for the church this morning. That is, if you have found yourself in this state of distraction, which has been causing you to move away from God or causing you to fear and or doubt God, God is still in control. No matter what happens in this earth, God is in control. No matter what happens in the U.S., God is in control. No matter what happens with our Canadian Prime Minister, God is in control. No matter what outbreak next virus comes, God is still in control. They're saying that the COVID-19 virus is now mutating. And they're talking about the fact that with this pandemic, and because we're such a worldwide society now, that this is just the beginning, that this pandemic's going to be over and we're going to enter into a new one. But God is still in control. None of this is a surprise to God. None of this is catching him off guard. None of this, he's not sitting up in heaven going, man, I had such a plan for the people of this earth, and now this COVID-19 has just gone and thrown it for a loop. He's in control. He knows what's going on. Matthew 28 and 18, the second part declares, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Words of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in our near future, we must. I want to emphasize, we must keep our focus on the one true God who has the power and the authority to forgive our sins and the one who poured his Spirit into us. Our focus today must be on repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, not just for ourselves, but for those around us as well. We need to be reaching the lost around us. There's people out in the world that are fearful. There's people out in the world that are wondering what's going on. We have the answer. We need to be ready to share that answer. The enemy of our souls will do his utmost best to throw as many distractions our way as he can. So this morning I would like to direct your attention back to where we began in Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Consider my thoughts, God. Consider where I am today. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. And I looked up that word because sometimes I read some of these passages and I don't understand. I don't get what he's saying there. And that word leasing translate to deceit. Thou shalt destroy them that speak deceitfully. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, that should be our prayer. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. And if we look down to verse number 11, it says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. No matter what distraction comes our way, no matter what our enemy tries to throw at us, no matter what is coming towards us in 2021, we need to keep our focus on God, because God will compass us like a shield. God will walk with us. God will lead us. We need to lift our voices to him, and we need to worship him, and him alone should we be worshiping. We need to lift our voices every day and say, God, lead my path in righteousness. Help me, God, to draw near unto you. Help me to live my life according to your word. Help me to give everything that I do unto you, God. Help me to praise you with my lips. Help me to praise you with my life. That's where our focus should be. No matter what happens in that outside world, our lives should be a reflection of him. Our lives should be a worship to him. Our lives should be a praise to him. In the light of what we have been facing this past 10 months, this should be our prayer every morning when we wake. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who gave his life and shed his blood for each and every one of us. So many scandals, so many conspiracy theories, and they're all distractions. Don't let your eyes drift from what your focus should be. As we stand together this morning, we were up visiting my parents last night, and as normal, the topic of politics came up. My parents and I have very differing opinions on politics, and they always say that the two things should never be discussed in mixed company is politics and religion. It's the two things I try to avoid when I go to my parents' place, because they make their opinion very well known on both topics. So people say, well, why aren't you reaching for your parents? They've made it very clear where they stand. They've made their choice. I don't like it. I do my best to live for God in front of them, and hopefully I can be an example. But we were talking, and I said, the biggest issue in our world around us today is the media. If you're a Trump fan, you would have been watching Fox News. If you're a Biden fan, you'd have been watching CNN. Our media is not impartial like it should be. Our media is very biased. And our media does their best to distract you. Our media does its very best to keep you fearful. Our media does its very best to keep your eyes on the things that it should not be on. Our media does its very best to pull you away from God. But in the days to come, we need to be able to tune that out and say, God, in you will I trust. God, I want to be a Meshach, Shadrach. I want to be an Abednego, God. I want to be the one that when they come and they decide to persecute us, no matter what happens, even if the persecution isn't what we're expecting, that we're going to say, God, I'm going to trust in you. You're going to get me through this. You're going to make a way, God. Today, I'd just like us to pray. I'd like you to search yourself. Say, where has this year brought me to? What path has this year taken me down? Have I drawn closer to God, or have I drawn away from God? Have I moved more into his presence, giving more of my life to him, or have I given less to him? Do I need to change my focus? Do I need to change my direction? Today, I want to be that Nathan. I want to be the one to say that this is the state that we found ourselves, and we have the opportunity right now to be a David and come to that realization as to where life has brought us, and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to repent, and I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to say, God, I want to live for you, and I'm going to make a purpose in myself, in my heart, to make this psalm a prayer that every morning when I get up, Lord, will you hear from my voice? Every day. I worship you. Every day, God, walk with me. Every day, God, lead me. Every day, God, draw me closer to you. Every day, God, show me your will. So we just take a few moments this morning. And just, you can come to the altar if you like, or you can stay where you're at. But let us just pray and seek God's face this morning. I thank you, Lord.